Baking and improv, waiting for the oven clock to bong. Question stories, baking it up as we go along.
Hello, my name's Sarah. I love baking and I love improv. I play with a couple of musical teams, Acaprov, an a cappella improvised musical, and the Staccatos, which is a short form musical team. But my first love is my team, Buffet, so you can tell how much I love food already.
My name is Rachel. I perform Tuprov with Classic Then Presents, and we have a monthly show in real life, which we're very excited about getting back soon. And online, I perform with GSM Admin and the Half Hour News Hour.
I enjoy baking any kind of interesting cake, anything with citrus or spices or drizzle, a good Guinness cake or Nigella's gingerbread cake. I love to bake bread and anything that you can do with a sourdough discard, crackers, donuts, bagels, crumpets.
I like baking sweet things. I like cakes and I like brownies. I'm not very good at biscuits though. But I also really enjoy making pastries, savoury pastries. I'm quite into the puff pastry game. In this podcast, we talk to amazing improvisers that we've worked with before about the kind of things that they're baking. This week, we talked to Michael Kunze. I'd like to give thanks to James Walsh for our beautiful opening song.
I'm the guilt associated with eating that meringue.
passion fruit. I'm going to keep the guilt.
The guilt associated with eating that meringue.
I'm Weight Watchers gathering.
I'm that very judgmental woman weighing you at the Weight Watchers gathering.
Ooh, I'm the judgmental woman weighing you at the Weight Watchers gathering.
I'm a very judgmental woman weighing you at the Weight Watchers gathering.
I'm the weight of society's expectation on women.
I am the scale.
I'm keeping the weight of society's expectations placed on women. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Michael Kunze. I'm an actor, an improviser, and writer, and a person who enjoys baking.
Perfect. Do you want to talk about some of the teams you're in?
Yes, I'm on a million teams, teams. I always say, like, before pandemic, I was doing this. I'm still on the teams. We're just not doing anything. there's Track 96, Improvised Hip Hop. There's the Hoopla House team, Michelle. There's my indie team, Just Friends. My duo, Blueberry. And I am forgetting something. I was sort of doing a few guest shows with Crime Scene Improvisation. And oh my god, I'm forgetting something, but it's gone. It's not going to come.
And your solo show that you're working on, which we can't wait to see live in the future one day.
Yeah, during lockdown, me and Rachel both took a class with Katie, the wonderful Katie Shute, and I wrote a show that's kind of relevant to baking about a rapping pasta chef. And
oh, come on!
Oh, it's great.
That's so good.
It's the good stuff, bud.
I don't know why I'm saying it's great. I think I personally think it's great, but it's like yeah, I say that about my work. But it's a hip-hop musical. I did it once in September when lockdown was briefly open, and it went really well. Mm-hmm. And I've done a bunch of rewrites, and I'm hoping that it's going to come back this year sometime, but it depends on everything.
What I'm looking forward to is you being a massive success, and I can be like, I read the first draft of that.
Making bagels recently.
Yes!
Yes! Come on!
Which is great. Thinking about bagels is like you think that they're like very complicated because like you have to boil them, but it's actually quite easy to boil things. Like we boil things all the time.
It's your potatoes, carrots.
Yeah. Pasta.
Pasta.
And you know they're done because they float.
Yeah,
so it's like super easy.
They're like bread dumplings.
Yeah. It's like in my head I was like, oh, it's like deep frying for some reason. I'd equated it with deep frying. It's not at all. It's really easy to bake bagels.
Yeah.
But yeah, prior to that, I think the thing I probably baked the most is pizza. Dough. I grew up in the California Bay Area, and there's a very famous, I guess it's like a cheesemonger called the Cheese Board. They also do pizza.
Fromagerie.
Yeah, fromagerie, exactly. So I got gifted their the recipe book when I was young. And so since then I started making pizza off of that, and it's my one thing that I bust out at like parties and stuff.
You know the recipe now.
Yeah. Let me see if
off
I can.
Off by heart.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I can do it right. I want to say 3.5 cups of bread flour, which doesn't sound like that much, but maybe it is. I think it's 3.5 cups of bread flour. And it's like a cup of lukewarm water with some yeast and salt and a bit of oil. It's very, very simple. But yeah, it's great. I enjoy baking more like in theory than in practice. Cause like I love the idea of it. You know, I love food and I love like the sort of like the transformational element of it, you know, like I feel very like I'm of the earth when I'm like, I'm ingredients together, like this delicious alchemy that comes out, and like the smell of fresh bread and all of that is like very powerful. Mm-hmm. Put it away, and then it comes out just looking like something totally different and amazing. And so I love that aspect of it.
Watching bread rise.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So much magic, and like lots of recipes. You don't actually really have to do very much for like a good result.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it is like you can kind of mess around and like you can kind of pretend you know what you're doing. Like, oh, maybe I'll try and add this in. It's all kind of the same. I mean, I'm sure I'm offending some baking enthusiasts.
It's super easy. Everyone should do it.
Yeah. Are you someone that likes to kind of go a bit rogue on the recipe and like throw an extra ingredient in or make things up as you go a bit? Or are you quite like loyal to your recipe?
The opposite way, yeah, because like in college I took one class in chemistry and like I was really bad at chemistry, but I really enjoy being in the lab and like doing things the same way. And so when I'm like baking, I always try and like I very much follow the recipe. And if it is, I might go off like once I have done it a couple times, but for the most part I try and do it like once or twice the recipe away before I go do my own thing.
You like the aesthetic of being a chemist?
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel like some people when they're cooking they either fall into the camp of like I'm an artist or I'm a scientist, and I'm definitely in the scientist camp.
I'm imagining you in the kitchen with a lab coat now and like some proper safety goggles, and like you're measuring everything, and you're like,
proper beakers
and
grams.
I feel like with baking, I have to be really precise in a way that if I was making just a pasta sauce, I really would ad lib. There's something about baking inspires method. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're always so scared that you'll like put in like bicarb instead of baking soda or something. Or like salt instead of sugar, and like that will, you know, things will really go tits up.
Yeah.
Collapse.
If you don't pay enough attention.
Yeah, and it's so much work. It's a lot of work, it feels like, that if you go off book, you're like, oh no, it's gonna, I don't want to.
Have you ever taken something out of the oven that's just completely sunk?
Oh yeah, I've had horrible things. I remember one time I made pizza at my partner's parents' house, and it was like, you know, my big impressive meal that I was going to make them, and like just like stuck to their oven.
No.
And it's still there.
And it was, and it was just like horrible. So the pizza was like falling apart, and it was just like bread covered in slops. And so, what can you do?
It's like sometimes the stakes are really high with baking, aren't they? Like I know a couple of friends who've been asked to make like wedding cakes for their friends as like their gift for the wedding, and I'm just like, like the idea gives me palpitations.
Baking and improv, waiting for the oven clock to bomb.
Today I've made meringues, actually, which is how meringues came up earlier in the game. Sarah, you do quite a lot of different things, don't you, Sarah?
I've been like quite into my bread for the past year or so because, you know, lockdown and sourdough. But it's almost my sourdough's first birthday. Yeah. So have a little party and a little maybe like photo shoot for Instagram. But what do I do? I was thinking today I really want to make burek. Do you know burek?
Oh yeah, the Turkish thing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I had it in Croatia. It's like these are usually stuffed with like mincemeat and like onion, or like sometimes like with like feta and spinach and stuff. Yeah. And it's like phyllo pastry and wrapped into like a tight coil and like oily and delicious and salty and like heavenly. So this is next on my agenda of things I think to make.
So do you think you'd make the phyllo?
I hadn't even thought about that, to be honest, but maybe I should.
You could also make a strudel then, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could just have lots of kind of phyllo pastry based goods in my house.
I have a question for you. When you make things, do you give them away or do you eat them yourself? Because I feel like I always want to give them away because like I can't eat all the bread, but then I'm also like, I want the bread for myself.
Combination.
I don't know. I'm in a good position as I live with three other people. So any batch of anything is split between four.
Good.
But definitely have been in a position recently we've had to give some things away. So we know a few people that live nearby. It's quite a nice excuse. Go for a walk with a friend, give them a donut, save your waste a little.
Yeah,
I think because, I mean, it's just the two of us and it can be excessive. Like one baked thing, because I mainly make sweet stuff. So I'm actually working on a chocolate tart today. And it's currently, the pastry's chilling in the fridge as we speak. But I don't think we can eat a whole chocolate tart this week. So very nice neighbours who I may give half my chocolate tart to.
Yeah, my experience is that people tend to be very grateful to share in the baked goods stash.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody was like, I made this bread, take it, I would take it. And, love it.
So you're more of a savoury baker, Mike, then?
I think so, yeah. I think bread more. I mean, I like baking cakes and stuff, but I prefer to bake bread or pizza dough, which is really bread. I'm saying that like it's not bread.
Is there yeast in pizza dough?
There is. You can make it without yeast, but... I think most recipes do have yeast.
But it does. You don't let it rise that much?
Not too much. I mean, I let it rise. It's not like an overnight kind of thing, but I'll let it rise for a couple hours.
Okay.
Until it's like doubled in size, usually. It's the rule of thumb.
We're getting a pizza oven. It's one of our
Stop it.
One of the many benefits of leaving London, you can have outdoor space that includes pizza ovens.
Oh, cool.
Lovely.
I'm jealous. Do you know there's a YouTube series that I'll send you afterwards on pizza ovens.
Yes!
A YouTube series?
Yeah, there's this one show. I'm like, that's with several it's not a pot. I'm obsessed with several YouTube pasta chef. My whole show was inspired by this YouTube series called Pasta Grannies. Which is like just about these old women in Italy make pasta. But there's another chef I love whose name is Kenji Alt Lopez, who like has this whole deep dive on pizza ovens and everything. He's a legend.
What is there to know about pizza ovens? Like, educate me.
Oh, loads. Well, he bought all of them. Basically. Yeah, there's how big they are, like how deep they are, like what the source of heat is, whether it's like wood or gas or like how controllable it is. Yeah.
And is there like a top notch, like top of the range?
The one he recommends is called... called like this. I think I'm just making up a word. I think it's called the koozie.
Oh no, I think I've seen that one. I think I'm getting sponsored ads for that at the moment.
Yeah. They'll follow you around once
and hopefully they'll send me a free one when they hear this podcast.
I've actually really gotten into making pizzas on tortillas over lockdown because it's like a simple way to make a pizza, and I didn't realize it existed before, and it's not baking. It's
pizza.
It's crispy and delicious. That's what counts, really.
When I was a student, I definitely made a lot of pizzas on pita breads. that was a very cheap, easy version of a pizza.
Classic, isn't it?
Absolute classic.
I think we were taught how to do them in school on like English muffins. Spread a little bit of tomato paste on, maybe a little bit of like one or two veg, bit of cheese.
Oh, personal pizza.
You were talking like about making pizzas at parties, you remember parties, there's something that used to happen. and it just made me think about how different parties are when you're older and into food, and how much of my younger life was spent just drinking and not eating enough.
Yeah.
And should we ever go to a party again, how grateful I would be if somebody made a pizza instead of bought a bottle of wine.
There's a bit of a fine line, I think, with parties and catering, though, because you, I don't know, it depends on your personality a bit, doesn't it? But, like, you can, you either get so, like, stuck trying to sort out the food that you don't get to talk to anyone, and you're frustrated. But then equally, if you, like, need a little bit of time out from someone, it's a quite nice excuse to be like, let me go and check how the pizzas are going.
I know.
You the Dr. Kenny.
I've never lived in a place that had like a separate kitchen. So whenever I'm like cooking for people around, I'm always in the same room, which is just like hella stressful.
Here. If you're from San Francisco, then are you a fan of the San Francisco sourdough?
Yeah, definitely. Oh. I mean, sourdough is huge in San Francisco. I grew up in a town just outside of San Francisco called Piedmont, but like sourdough was like a thing for a very long time. It's like, you know, I have friends who go over to their houses and they'd like give you loaves of bread or
happy days.
Yeah, yes, I accidentally smuggled some sourdough starter back from California.
Come on,
are you listening to this, UK customs?
The biosecurity in this country is so lax.
Weak.
One time I came here and somebody gifted me like a 1,000-year-old
thousand
of sourdough starter. Like for, yeah, a starter from like monks.
Oh, what?
He'd like gone from monks somewhere and he was like, take it. Cool. And I had it put in a jar for me and I tried to take it out of Ireland or out of the UK into Ireland and they were like, you can't bring this on a plane. And I'm like, but the monks. And
yeah.
Like,
no. So what did you do with it? Did you have to leave it?
I left it.
No.
It was gone. My one chance.
No. You know what you can do? Just so when this happens to you in the future, you know. Because the chances are high of this happening again in a specific scenario. You can dehydrate sourdough starter. So it's like a powder.
Like, and that looks less suspicious. That's a really good thing. Because
these ones, these get powder. The ones I traveled from California to here are dehydrated. And they're in a little bag.
What? Okay. Oh, but there you go.
The monk powder.
Yes. I mean, that sounds like something that should have a class B drug.
I think one of the reasons it's so lax is, you know, the little dogs, the spaniels, they are much more effective at smelling sausages than anything else. So if you were trying to transport any illegal past spaniels, make sure the person in front of you has sausages because your anthrax will go right by them.
I feel like the logistics of trying to organise a person to be in front of you at all stages of like getting through for your plane through customs with sausages, it's quite a comical idea to me.
If you are paying the right money, I'm sure you can get sausages any which way in front of you.
You know they're training those dogs to smell COVID?
Yeah. Just don't make sure there's no sausages nearby.
Question stories.
I've got a question.
Yes.
For you to answer. Okay. So this is from Vic in Suffolk. If bicarbonate of soda can ruthlessly descale my kettle, why am I adding it to my cakes?
Your cakes also get scaly, obviously, is the answer. There's limescale everywhere in London. You got to watch out for it. That's basically it. Yeah.
Ewan in Vauxhall asks, I want to celebrate Pancake Day, but my cat is phobic of flat round objects. What do I do?
Make a donut. Not flat. same concept. Make a donut. Like, I love donuts. I recently developed quite a problem. You know Yum Nuts at Marks and Spencer's?
No. What is a Yum Nut?
Oh my God. It's like, I thought it was just a silly sounding word for donut, and I like had to ask. I was like, "Is a yum nut the same as a donut?" And they're like, "No, no, it's, not the same. It's so different, and it's delicious." They're like kind of like it's a slightly more cakey dough, but I have to buy them three at a time, and they're really good. Like, they're delicious. Go try yum nut at Marks and Spencer if you get the chance.
A Marks and Spencer's yum nut.
This is not a paid advertisement.
Yeah, however.
I'm just generally really enthusiastic about them.
Would be accepting a sponsorship deal with Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah, I mean, if you, Marks and Spencer's, if you're listening and you want to throw them a few bob, do it. But
they've been really expanding what they'll do with Percy Pig's Marks and Spencer's, haven't they? I've noticed.
Yeah,
like, it's a whole cake now.
Yeah, and you know you can get Colin's face now, like Colin the caterpillar. It's like the face on the cake is just like the pure chocolate bit that people fight over, and you can buy just his face now. So if you just want Colin's face, you got it.
Which I'm sure we all do. Ben asks, what sort of souffle should I make to ensure an afternoon of wacky shenanigans as it's put in constant peril of collapsing?
What sort of souffle should I make? Wait, what? I didn't understand that question.
Well, no, exactly. So what sort of souffle should you, I think, if I can rephrase, what sort of souffle should I make for wacky shenanigans that will not collapse?
Okay, so you want to have some sort of like fun time on top of your souffle.
Okay.
In which case, I recommend you make a souffle all day, which is a special kind of souffle, which is determined to withstand pressure of up to 3 or 4 bodies. So you could play Game of Twister. You could have an orgy. I don't know, whenever I hear wacky behavior, I'm like, that's obviously an orgy. No, souffle, yeah.
Souffle okay. All
day. It sounds like a risque souffle.
It sounds, ooh, there you go. That's the pun that I should have said instead of all the things I tried to say.
Low risk souffle. No, that doesn't work at all. Yeah, okay, so... A risque souffle. I think you'd want a souffle that continues to cook.
Just like a massive souffle.
Yeah, you know, like a self-baking. You know, I think Nigella Lawson had a recipe for like a forget about me cake where you briefly put it in the oven, turn the oven off and walk away. You want a souffle that can do that, I think.
Forget about me cake sounds like something a really cynical and bitter person would make on Valentine's Day if they were feeling a bit too single.
Or forgot about me cake.
Yeah.
No, those are great answers. Thank you. Those are great. Now, it is Valentine's Day, the day of recording. Is anyone doing any?
My partner is in the background.
Yep, I totally knew it was. Is anyone doing any sweet baking?
You know, we have become very basic in our old age, and we're leaning into it by getting the 2 for $20 Marks and Spencer's meal. Which is like, it is embarrassing, but it's also just like hilarious to me that I've become a person who's just really into that because I just don't want to cook today.
No, why should you? It's a day for a Marks and Spencer's treat. What 2 for $20 Marks? Because we're back onto Marks and Spencer's. They're doing well out of this episode. But what have you gone for?
Okay, well, let's see. For starters, we have a leek sort of, it's a parcel, I think. It's like a pastry. It's like a leek and cheese kind of pastry. Appetizer. And then for the main, we have a chicken Kiev, which is like this big. For those who are listening, I'm holding up. It's like the size of a basketball, maybe. I'm not good with sizes. And then
someone with that.
For our listeners, that was not the size of what his hands were holding up at all.
Then there's a side of the potato dauphinoise, which is it's creamy. It looks delicious. It's a bottle of red wine. There's some cheesecake. We got some asparagus on top of it because we were like, we need a green in there.
Got to eat
some bread. We're just like, we have way too much food.
Is there such thing as too much food? I mean, sure.
There's always next day to eat.
Yeah, no, tomorrow will be well, it's also like my birthday is on Tuesday. And so
we're kind of like
a day of, or it's been a lot of eating going on.
Yeah,
happy birthday. So well, here's a question. What, like, for your birthday, what would be like your absolute dream cake? Or would you put your candles in something else?
Where would you like to put your candles, ideally?
more innuendo there than I'd intended.
I love like a nice like chocolate cake, like a solid chocolate cake, like flourless chocolate cake is really delicious. I'm quite partial to brownies and donuts as well. So like If someone got me a dozen yum nuts, I'd be like, I can't let me yum nut.
Dear Marks and Spencers.
I feel like we talk a lot of shit on Marks and Spencers now.
I'm a fan. You cannot beat the quality.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you make your own pasta?
Yeah, I do. I have a pasta roller, and so I will. Most of the pasta I get is from the shop, but I will make my own pasta if I'm feeling up for it.
It's a process, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a while, but I kind of like. I mean, it is like sort of like baking, and that you're mixing and not cooking it in the oven, obviously, but you're mixing and kneading, and that whole process is very sort of therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Is there a risk of over kneading with pasta?
Not really that I know of. But then again, I'm not like there kneading for like 2 hours to try and find out.
My over knead, because there is a risk with pastry. I make quite a lot of pastry, and you've got to be very careful not to over knead with pastry. And
really? Okay.
Yeah, because it can become elastic and pull away.
I feel like pastry is a bit particular, isn't it?
She's a fussy mistress, is pastry.
She's a bit of a snobby bitch.
What she likes is very cold hands. That's the truth.
Oh, God. My hands are always, like, kind of clammy and hot.
if you were to, like, make pastry into a character, or, like, have a character inspired by the nature of pastry, what would that character be called?
Patsy?
Madame Le Quoi.
Yeah, she would be a mademoiselle, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Very particular
French lady in a beautiful Parisian apartment, but maybe a little cold.
She'd be very grateful.
Yeah, she would appreciate a light touch.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make comments on people's hands all the time.
Ooh, very kind.
Be like, that hand is quite hot. Do you want
Could you just put your hands in a bucket of ice before you come anywhere near me, please?
Mm-hmm.
I too suffer from slightly too warm hands. So when I'm making pastry, my hands are in the freezer for intervals. Just really dunk them into ice.
Has anyone invented some kind of like magic glove that you can like? You know, like maybe you freeze it and then you put your hand in it and it's like flexible enough that you can wear it while you're like doing your pastry.
Sounds like
maybe that's
really
a hole in the market for that.
We have just invented one.
Yeah. Anybody here with any scientific background? Yeah. I think if we just say we've patented it, it's
copyright.
Yeah. It's how copyright law works.
If we make it, we demand 50%.
Yeah. If it's very successful.
Like a little bit hazardous to like your circulation and maybe physical well-being, but
it has to be like very chemically
with all that in mind, we retract our patent of the product. I mean, yeah, silicon hand that cuts off the circulation could work because that's it. Like I think a hotness of extremities is down to circulation, isn't it? Too much blood pumping around our bodies.
Yeah.
Too much.
Very, very warm, clammy hands. Are you then, Mike, if we were to shake your hand, would you be that person with that like slightly moist?
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm like very sensitive about that. Like I'm feeling my hands right now. They're a bit warm.
Clammy hands, Mike.
I'm very good at sweating in general. I'm not afraid of this. Like whenever I'm in the gym and I'm doing like the slightest amount of exercise, people look at me and they're like, he's really going for it.
Absolutely drenched.
Yeah. Part of myself that I've come to grips with.
My family is partly quite sweaty too. One of my cousins had overactive sweat glands and her sister has no sweat glands in her armpits.
What?
Which is a hereditary thing. Our great grandma had no sweat glands in her armpits or hair follicles. So one of my cousins has never had to wear deodorant because she cannot sweat in her armpits and has never ever had to shave. Well, not that you have to shave under your arm, but she's never needed to. She has no hair under her arms. But her sister was so sweaty, she had to have like some glands removed. So.
Oh, no.
And she didn't want to give them to her sister. Like,
yeah.
I mean, isn't, like, aren't sweat's important, right, to keep you cool.
She sweats like, other places, just not under her arms. She's like, she's a fully functioning person. She can sweat.
She doesn't like overheat.
She seems fine. Bubbling over. I run hot, though. I feel, I get hot very quickly. Like, Mike, I think because me and Mike are both of Jewish extraction, we're shtetl people, perhaps. Sort of meant to be like wandering around the mountains of Ukraine. I think that is an amazing amount of content for a podcast. Thank you so much. That was so fun. That was so amazing. Thank you so much. So thank you. I'm gonna stop recording now.